Welcome everyone to the Marvel of Horror, where we discuss all things past, present, and future as they pertain to the horror genre. I'm your host, your friend, fellow horror enthusiast, Bruce Marvel. Make sure you find us on the Marvel of Horror podcast at YouTube. We're on Spotify. Like, subscribe, leave your comments. Drop a movie that you kind of want us to go over, or a new movie you think I should watch, because I'm always on the lookout. And today is very special. We've been talking about this guest coming on. She actually got called out in an episode. Lauren DeSavantino is here.
Hey, guys.
To talk specifically Halloween 4 and 5, which is awesome. Everyone wants to talk about the first one
right, and
stuff like that, but it's very rare someone wants to actually talk about the Thorn series, the Thorn saga of the Halloween series, which I actually prefer. But tell us, what was your first experience with the horror genre? Do you remember?
I do. So, Halloween and Michael Myers and I have a special relationship. But I was thinking about this, you know, when did horror really, like, start? So, you know, back in the 90s, we had Blockbuster.
Yeah, oh my God, such a good... What a,
what a time to be alive.
As our friend Nicole would say, what a time to be alive.
Right, so, like, on Fridays, my dad would take us down the street to Blockbuster, and he would get a movie, and then we could get a movie, my sister and I. And so at some point, I do remember, and I must have been little, but my dad likes movies. He is a movie guy. And he would always make these references, like, to Carol Ann. Like,
okay.
He would, like, if we were, like, I don't know what was happening. I can't remember specifics. I do remember, like, you know, old TVs with the fuzz, when that would happen, he would be like, "Ooh, Carolyn," and like we didn't really know what was going on, like, or anything like that. So eventually I think I started to put two and two together. He would like say stuff about the poltergeist and this and that. So one time I got to pick, he finally let me watch it.
Yeah.
So poltergeist, I think, was like what introduced me to it. So I was like, oh my God, like, A, this is scary, and I love like the adrenaline rush of it being scary, but B, like, you know, like, these are weird things. Like, can they be happening? Like, can this really happen? Like, yeah, my dolls are kind of creepy. And what do they do at nighttime when I go to sleep?
I don't
and,
like, you this know, clown doll I have right? anymore.
So I think Poltergeist was where it started. And, like, horror and me kind of had, like, a, I don't want to say, like, a rocky start, but, like, a weird start. I wasn't really allowed to watch things that were, like, bad.
Okay.
I was like young, you know, and so like A, you know, you have like death and like murder and sex in pretty much every horror movie, and
if they're done correctly.
Correct. Yeah. And then B, like my parents didn't want to watch them with us, you know, so there wasn't like, oh yeah, you can watch us, go ahead. So after Poltergeist, I probably watched it a lot because I was like, I like this. I do remember at my cousin's house one time, like Chucky was on, and I like, neither here or there with Chucky. Like, if I want to watch a movie about a scary kid, I would rather watch like Pet Sematary or Children of the Corn, but not Chucky. But anyway, it was on. And then I think sixth grade was when Curse of Michael Myers came out in the movie theater, and I like saw the previews, and I like begged and begged and begged. I like wanted to go so bad. I knew nothing about anything. I never watched any of them before. And of course I didn't go because my dad was like, I'm not going to the movie theater to watch Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
But then he surprised me in sixth grade for my birthday, which is in November, like right after Halloween, November 3rd. And he bought me the box set, 1 through Curse. And I literally watched them on repeat and repeat, repeat for years and years and years and years and years. So
that is so cool. I love The Curse of Michael Myers. I love that movie. And I, it was some, I think I was like in the sixth grade or something. And me and my friend Jamie Leo wanted to go see it. And my dad was the same way. He's like, I'm not sitting through some Halloween movie with you guys.
Right.
So my dad at the time went there and was like, look, I'll take you guys and you guys can go see it.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't let us in. It was rated R, and I think we were only like 15 or something. And there was like some college guys going in, and my dad went up to him, was like, look, I'll buy you guys tickets if they can just act like they're with you.
Since
you guys are like 18 and 20, you know? And they're like, yeah, that's sure. So my dad bought their tickets to get in, and we went in with them, acted like we were with them, like they were like, yeah. Our, one guy was like our older brother or something, and then we went in and they sat where they sat, and we sat where we sat. Me and my friend watched.
Oh, that's movie. Awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. It was fun. It was and like I said, I thought it was an awesome movie. A lot of people don't like the Paul Rudd, Michael Myers. Shame on them.
Paul Rudd, look at him.
I know, Paul Rudd. Yeah, and he looks. Go back and watch the movie because I think Paul Rudd filmed that movie before like he did Clueless, but I think Clueless came out first, right, or something like that. But like Paul Rudd, that movie was, I don't know, 30 years ago. Paul Rudd looked like he only aged like 10 years since
he's a vampire. There's something going on with Paul Rudd because he looks exactly the same.
I don't know, man. They're talking about like this magic shit in Hollywood. Like maybe like certain Hollywood actors are like part of cults. I'm like, man, Paul Rudd's definitely got something going on. He might be part of this cult.
The cult theory in Hollywood is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm here for it because there's got to be something weird going on.
There's got to be.
Something.
There's got to be. In a town that big. Yeah. I mean, come on now. I hope one day we get to, like, you hear like really wacky things about it, but I hope one day we actually get like some really.
I watched something like, I don't know, on, you know, the social media about like how Eyes Wide Shut is true. Like it's really a thing that's happening in Hollywood. And was Nicole Kidman was in that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like her dad, like the reason she filmed it was because like her dad is like one of these people. In Eyes Wide Shut, like in real life, like one of these high up underground weird people in there. It was like this whole thing. And it made sense. It really made sense.
It doesn't shock me. Yeah. That's the thing. If that was like really true, which I'm very open minded. Yeah. I think like, because if you're like that famous and you're like that rich, like I do believe in a sense where like if you have the power to do anything you want all the time. Mm hmm. You're going to go crazy and you're going to find just like wild ass shit to do.
Yeah.
Because nothing satisfies you anymore. Like, I do believe that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't shock me if there was like some crazy ass like pagan sex orgy things they're doing in Hollywood.
Right.
I think I'd be more shocked. Like, how come we haven't heard about this like sooner?
Yeah.
Like, even the government's like, yeah, UFOs are real. You got it. Yeah. I don't care.
Like, oh, so we just passed over that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were like, you know, just tell them the truth. And they won't care. They just care because you're hiding it from them. Yeah, they're real. These Marine people have been seeing them off these aircraft carriers all the time.
And they just don't go home and talk about them. They just are like, eh.
Yeah, it's just aliens. The thing. We've accepted it. Oh, okay, that's it. Well, we'll move on to something else. Yeah, I had a guy on the show named Dalton. He was talking about that, and I was like, when that story was like really big, and I was like, yeah, you don't think it's weird to just glossing over that? And I'm like, I do think it's weird, but
I mean, they've been talking about it forever, like, you know, with Area whatever 51, right? Yeah, I almost said 54. That's Studio 54.
Yeah, well, I think that's where, yeah, I think that's where like that fucking Eyes Wide Shut right, ball started.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about these aliens for years, and like, there's all these secrets, but. At some point, you got to be like, it's got to be real. Like,
it's got to be real.
People aren't just making this shit up.
No, like I said, you know, if it was a couple of people, sure. But right. Like, yeah, if it's been like so many people for the last like 60 years or more.
Right.
So, Halloween 4, we'll mm-hmm. start with that one. So, I watched Halloween 4 in the past year. I was trying to watch them both right. before this weekend. But I didn't get a chance to. But Halloween 4, I think it picks up like 10 or 14 years later.
I think it's 10.
10?
Yeah.
Takes up 10 years after Halloween, the events in Halloween 2.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Rob Zombie Halloween 2.
Yes.
The 1981 Halloween 2. And a lot of fans were like super pumped. Like,
yeah.
It was like the boogeyman's coming back. And like I really liked this movie. It did very well. It was a... It had a $5 million budget, and it made $17 million its opening weekend. So they already were kind of laying the groundwork for part five.
Right.
To me, the biggest hang-up in this movie is, like, the mask.
I like it so much because it just seems like in Halloween 1 and 2, you have, like, this linear story where it's Laurie and her, you know, Michael Myers. Loomis is always there, but it's, like, both of them, and he's like basically just stalking her. Some people get in the way, right? But it's like her. But then you come back. Well, then you go to, you know, three, which we've touched on. But like, it's then he's back. Like, you know, we tried this. You know, it was not what we thought. Now we're back. Michael Myers is back, and you have now more characters kind of involved in what's going on, even though it's, you know, Jamie, his niece, per se. But we, like, don't really know any of that stuff. Like, we don't know.
No, and they kind of, like, I like how they touch on, so, I like, again, like you were saying, to piggyback off what you were saying, I like the characters, and I like how, okay, they, Jamie Lee Curtis said, I'm not coming back, I'm done.
Right.
You know, her career is in full-blown, like,
Stardom.
Yes. At that point, you know, she's already done A Fish Called Wanda, and like all, you know, she's a big star, known outside of horror at this point. But they, I like how they still incorporate like the Laurie Strode character. You know what I mean? Like, okay, she died in a car accident, I think, is what it was, because she still has the picture, and you know, she's adopted Jamie, right? Jamie Laurie.
Jamie, yes.
Played by Danielle Harris, which is a super cool, nice person in real life.
Yeah.
So I like how they still incorporate that, and I like how, okay, Michael Myers has been in a coma, and they talk about the fire, and they talk about Loomis is like Bird, even though, like, if you really watch part two, he should not be alive at all. But at least
he should be fully Bird, not just a little patch here on his cheek.
Yeah, he should be full on, like, he should look like Deadpool.
Right.
You know, like, true. That's how much fucking burns he should have. But I still, I like how they still try to keep it, like you said, a linear story from part two with all this time that's taking place. And I like the new characters they bring in. I like Rachel. We'll get to Rachel in part five. That's that's like the biggest downer of part five to me. I like how they even talk about, like when Loomis goes in and he's like, all right, where's Sheriff Brackett? And he's like, man, Sheriff Brackett's retired.
Yeah.
Like that was so... A long ago. What the fuck are you
doing? You're the only one still around.
Yeah. What the fuck are you doing here?
Some people like to move on, but you are stuck here forever.
Solid opening to that movie.
And a lot of things were kind of still the same. How, like, he's being transported out. Like, why are they ever letting this guy out? I don't know. Like, did we not learn our lesson? But they're letting him out. And, you know, then he makes his way back. I always thought it was not weird, but, Laurie obviously is trying to, we know she's not dead. Like, she's still alive, but like, she's trying to hide her kid, but you hid your kid in the same town where all this bad stuff happened. Like, why didn't you send her like far, far away, like Boston or something, you know?
That or like, I don't know, man, send her to fucking the UK.
Right, but to get away from this guy. But like, you're like, oh yeah, these people here, well, I'll give you to them. He'll never know.
Yeah, because like, again, it's like after part two, we just don't realize that, like, yeah, he's a supernatural entity at this point.
Yeah.
Like, the guy told us he shot him 6 times, like 150 times in the span of a couple hours. Like, this guy got blown up.
They blew him up.
They fucking blew the guy up. I mean, come on now. And I love how they, I mean, we'll get into like the whole curse, like how they,
they
explain why he keeps coming back, which I actually think is really neat.
But cults.
Cults. Nothing is, cults scare me more than anything.
Oh,
I don't know if you know that. Cults, yes. I think things hiding under the bed and cults are the shit that like really give me the creeps in real life.
I think things hiding under the bed. The dark.
Yeah?
Yes. I am not a fan of the dark. Like, well, I need you to turn on the lights, please.
Yeah?
Yes. And, like, the paranormal things, because, you know, I might have this much of the shine.
Okay. I did not know that.
Oh. Another thing Nicole and Faith will tell you a lot of.
Okay.
I have
besides the Gatorade player
besides
of the year.
Besides Gatorade player of the year.
Ah.
Yes.
I didn't do that in the intro. I'm sorry.
Yes. I would a little bit of it. So.
Well, man, Leela is who you got to talk to.
Yeah, we've talked before.
Yeah.
About some things. Yes.
She's like picked her investigations back up, and she's got some. Yeah,
yeah.
She's got some stuff, man. Makes the hair of my arm stand up.
I love it, like I love it, but I'm also like afraid of it. I don't want to go somewhere where like something might be like, oh, let's go home with her. See what happens, you know?
Yeah,
don't come home with me, please.
Oh man, this is like Lila will like, what do you think of this doll, man? Isn't it creepy? And I'm like, yeah, where'd you get it? Like, did you bring something home? Like, one day you're gonna bring one of these haunted things home and we're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, you gotta lock it in a box.
Yeah, you gotta do more research where it came from.
Right.
But I think when I first met you years ago, and like we were, like the Halloween parties and stuff.
Yeah.
You came in and you were like, yeah, I couldn't deal with your house like at nighttime.
Yeah. Now.
And I'm just like, well, what do you mean? She's like, oh man, with these like.
It was when you had. It was when it was the nun.
Yeah.
In the dining room.
That was a good year.
The Bibles and the crosses and then the statue of the nun standing over there in the corner. I was like, I literally have to get a hotel room. I couldn't stay here while this was. It was beautiful. It was so well done, but I could not. I couldn't.
Oh yeah, like I said, it's funny, and I don't think I ever really got a chance to tell you. Like, it didn't bother me until you said.
Right.
And then, like, because I'm, like, leaving for work. Like, when I get up and go to work, it's, like, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, when I'm coming home, like, everything's dark. And, like, you know, my mom used to live here, and Lila's upstairs. I'm trying to make sure they're, like, I'm not making a bunch of noise and getting up. And it's, like, yeah, you just see the outlines of all the stuff. And then like, what you said started, like, kind of echoing him. I'm, like, oh, man, it is really creepy now. Thanks to the chef.
Sorry.
It's fine. It's the sacrifice you make.
Right. It's definitely a sacrifice, but it always turns out.
Well,
amazing.
I appreciate that. Like, I gotta go less now. You know what I mean?
That's okay.
I got a kid running around. He don't need to see some nun. I don't need to scar him like forever. Like that's the thing. Like, and we'll get into how like you kind of made reference to. How you, like, put, like, your movies on in the background.
Yeah.
It's like, I used to kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
But now with him, I'm like, nah, it's just the Wiggles on in the background.
The Wiggles. And which is scary enough.
It's, oh, my God. Yeah, nothing scarier than, like, driving to work at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning and you're like, a 43-year-old grown man. And you're like, hot potato, fuck. Damn, I got the Cold Spaghetti song stuck in my head.
That's hilarious because... Back to my dad, he was a, you know, he was a general contractor, so he'd wake up early, the same as you, and he'd go out to his jobs, and this was, like, the 80s and 90s, so they had those, like, CB radios, like, so, you know, they would be going off, and he'd pick people up here and there, and the guys, like, construction guys, be, like, getting in the car, and they'd be like, Guy... Why you got, like, the Rubber Ducky song on? He'd have, like, a cassette tape in, and he didn't even know because his mind is going, and, you know, he's working, and he's listening to, like, Rubber Ducky.
I mean, Halloween 4, so what's more worn out tape-wise on the VHS, 4 or 5?
5.
5?
Okay. Yes, 5. I think, like, I loved 4, and I watched it, you know, tons, but I think, like, that started the storyline, and then when we got to 5, I was like, oh, I like it. There was, like, again, more different characters, some more action, and then the theme of, like, the cult and everything started to, like, unravel there. But 5 would be, like, when I turned 16, I got a TV for Christmas.
Nice.
Nowadays, if you're not, like, 6 and have a TV, like, you're a loser.
Yeah,
but
you don't have a PlayStation 5 TV and iPad? What are you, nerd?
But I turned 16 and I got a TV with a VCR all in one.
Oh, man, I have one of those, too. I got one of those.
So I would put, this is going to sound so creepy, but I would put 5 on and, like, fall asleep to it.
No,
like, I would put it on, watch it, fall asleep, and it never got old. And so, yeah, the 5 is probably the most worn and tattered casing of my VHS tapes.
I had one on VHS that, like, it was the actual, like, it was a Blockbuster exclusive.
Yeah. Oh.
Right. So I had that one, and someone rented 6 and dubbed it.
Okay.
So I had a dubbed version of part 6, and I used to watch part 6 like almost every day after school.
Yeah.
I still remember the trailers. the trailers on the VHS I had was Hellraiser 4 Bloodline.
Okay.
And I want to say it's like Children of the Corn 4.
Okay.
Like I still, like that's how much I've like watched it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I used to do like maybe every once in a while I'd fall asleep to it, but like Friday the 13th Part 3 and Halloween 6 were just movies I would just put on and yeah. watch in my room. And if I was doing my homework, it was on in the background.
Yeah, in the background. And so many people thought I was like so crazy for doing that. Like when I years later, when I got to college and we would be on, I played volleyball in college. We'd be on like the bus going somewhere and there would be like a movie to pick. I would always say, oh, I have, you know.
Yeah.
We never watched it. Like, nobody was ever like, let's pick that one. It was like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective or something.
Well, I mean, that is a good movie.
It is.
But I would, if I was there, I'd be like, hey, we're about five.
Hey, yeah, let's do it. But, you know, then they would, like, all my teammates caught wind that, like, I would watch this, like, whenever I felt like it, to fall asleep. And they're like, oh, God, you're weird.
Well, they don't know. What do they know?
Yeah.
It's not weird. It's common.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I used to fall asleep listening to, like, heavy metal Marilyn Manson music. Look at me now. Wait, that's probably a bad example.
But I do remember in 5, back in the day before there was, you know, Google at your fingertips, being like, where did this tattoo come from?
Yeah, and that's, 5 is actually, and I'm glad you brought that up. So 5 is the first time we see the Mark of Thorn tattoo.
Right, yeah.
Like, you don't see it, at least I don't think you see it in any of the other movies.
No, I don't think so.
So that's what, like, you can tell, I like letting stories, like, simmer and build, mm-hmm. you know? And I like how they were, like, really trying to lay this groundwork to what was going to be in 6, like, this cool, like, origin story, which, again, a lot of people didn't like. And we'll get into Part 6 and all, like, the problems it had filming and how there's actually two different versions of that movie. In Part 4, he gets, like, shot a million times
yeah.
and falls down, like, the big hole. And then, like, in Part 5, you find out, like, there was actually, like, a tunnel system. And I guess, like, a guy found him.
Yeah.
And he kind of, like, went back into, like, a coma for, like, a year,
and
right?
And he took care of him, and then he...
Yeah.
Killed him.
Yeah. He's a bastard,
killer.
Michael Myers. Like, hey, thanks for taking care of me all year.
But, yeah, and then you see that tattoo. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in 1 and 2, you kind of get, like, he's just, you know, this crazy guy that's... I don't know, wants to kill his whole family. You know,
yeah, he's just evil incarnate.
Yeah, and but... you're like, oh, he's just evil. But, like, obviously you start to see him get killed a bunch of times, or we think. And over time, it's like, well, is this guy old yet? Like, when is he going to be too old to be doing this? So I guess you kind of have to move into there's some type of supernaturalness mm-hmm. around what's happening, because time is, you know, not... working on him like it is everybody else.
Right. And yeah. like something like in like Friday the 13th, they did like something very similar. It was like after the, you know, they had the first 4 movies where, you know, Jason's not like, so 2,
yeah.
3 and 4, Jason's like this killer, and they all kind of follow like the same, like, you know, 4 picks up right where 3 picks
yeah,
off.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like one night on, or like in the same weekend almost. But in Part 6, they were like, you know, they straight up just made him Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
You know, with the lightning bolt and stuff like that. Like, it just gets to the point where, like, you have to make them
yeah.
supernatural, or, you know, like the newer Halloween movies, it's like, okay, I mean, they were, Halloween 2018 was good.
Yeah.
But, like, he's a 60-some-year-old man.
Right.
You're still picking people up with, like, fucking one hand.
Right.
And they did that, I don't know if you saw did you see the newest Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie?
Yes.
On Netflix?
Yes.
They did the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, man, he's 70-something years old.
Right.
How, is he really swinging that chainsaw? That chainsaw is heavy.
Yeah.
It looks heavy.
You know, it's got to be heavy, and it's like, has a motor attached to it,
yeah.
so it's moving itself at some
Yeah,
point.
It's not like one of those battery Ryobi ones.
Right.
It still weighs like 5 pounds. That thing yeah. looks like it's a good... 30-some pounds, and you're swinging it, man. Good luck.
Hey, horror fans. Help support the Marvel of Horror podcast by going to our merch shop and getting one of our exclusive items.
Where do you think the cult originated from? Because I know that there's 2 theories of, like, how he got into, like, how we got into his cult.
When Halloween, the first Halloween was coming out, they had, like, a, I want to say his name was, like, it's on the book, Curtis Richards.
Okay, right? Yeah.
He did a novelization of the book. And if you can actually find the real copy, it's worth, like, a lot of money.
Yeah.
This is, like, a reprint that came out where they did, like, illustrations, but it's the actual novel. In his novelization of the first movie, he explains the origin of Michael Myers. And it's, like, I don't want to say it's, like, a, I don't want to say, like, they're like, nomad or Nordic or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
but it kind of
yeah.
gives that in person, you know, like, an indigenous people kind of thing. But there was a guy who, he was pretty much shunned from his, like, he was the outcast of, like, his tribe.
Okay.
And he loved this girl who was very beautiful. And I think, like, you know, that was, like, okay, you're going to marry, parents arranged you to marry so-and-so. And she was going to marry, like, this warrior guy in the tribe or whatnot. And the outcast guy made, like, a move on her. And he didn't mean anything by it, but, like, he wanted to, like, profess, like, his love for this woman. But since he was, like, an outcast, it was, like, he was embarrassed and shamed. And, like, people were, like, you know, how could you? You're, like, a monster. Why would she, like, kind of go out with you? And they're kind of poking fun at him and stuff like that. So in a rage, he kills the woman and her lover. And he gets cursed by the tribe. Like, you're going to forever walk. Like, your spirit's going to forever walk the earth. And that's kind of where they explain why Michael Myers is the way it is. Like, it's like he's, I guess his family is from that guy.
Okay.
Because, like, his, like, they, in the book, they make, like, a reference to, like, his grandfather was hearing voices and stuff.
Oh.
And I think they played a little bit with that when they were like, you know, we're going to come up with this. It's definitely from, like, Viking-esque.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, the rune, like, the mark of Thorn being, like, the, what's the word, the sign in the sky, like the Big Dipper, like an astrological sky. So it definitely gives me, like, Viking kind of vibes.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, the two things that I've read about, like, I've not read that book, but
I should lend it to you. It's cool.
Is that it was either, like, the townspeople, which makes sense to that, like, where they were, the townspeople kind of were kind of in the cult. Or when he went to the asylum, like, the people that worked there kind of, like, they saw this evil person and they kind of, like a cult does. They were like, oh, we'll drag you in. Like, you don't like your family. Like, you're having these issues. You killed some people, which is very cult-like. But that's the two things. And I, you know, they both kind of make sense. But I think now hearing that, I think the townspeople kind of being in the secret cult kind of.
They make that, like, connection, too. Like, the people in the sanitarium have always been guarding this guy for some reason. Then you find out, it's like, oh, because, win. The guy is in the cult. And it's like, now, and they're, not only are they trying to control him, they're, like, trying to make more people like him.
Right.
Which I thought was, like, really, like, I don't think that movie, I don't think Part 6 gets enough credit for, like, how smart it is. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think it suffers, like, from the editing. Because, like, you know, Donald Pleasance died, and they had to, there was a lot of things, like, I don't know if you know all the things they changed around in that
movie.
I don't.
I was going to say, I think that's what happens to a lot of movies when you get down the line, you've had a lot of, you know, the story's been being told for a really long time, you have a change in who has been telling the story, so, like, their idea of, like, my idea of things is not the same as yours. I mean, it could be close, but it might not be exactly the same. So I think that's what happens, and the storyline is great, but it just wasn't probably told to the best of, like, what most people were expecting it to be, you know?
No, so. I agree completely. Apparently, like, 5, there's a lot of stuff that, I think there's, like, a different version of 5 you can watch, where they, like, put a lot more footage back in.
There's definitely an extended version.
Yeah.
I don't have it, and I tried to, like, search through, like, YouTubes and things to see if it was on there, but I couldn't find it anywhere. But I've definitely, like, if you Google it, there's an extended version.
I think 5 might be the one I've watched the least, but not because, like, it's my least favorite. Like, I actually prefer 5 to 4.
Yeah.
Because I think Michael Myers like looks cooler. I think he's way scarier.
Besides the tattoo and the cult, we also like Dr. Wynn. I think that's his name, Dr. Wynn. Is the guy who like breaks him out of jail. Mm-hmm. Like now we see like, oh, there's others.
Yeah. You know? Well, I remember like watching Five for the first time and it was like Michael Myers is caught.
Yeah.
And he's like in a jail and it's like, oh, this is weird. This is very different.
What are they going to do with him now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my, are you caught him? Now, how can you even, like, you're just kind of like, you're really going to, like, you're looking at the time and you're like, is this how they're really going to end the movie? Is there like 10 minutes left where something's going to go on?
Yeah, like they killed him a bunch. They blew him up a bunch. Well, I keep using the word killed, but, you know, they tried to kill him a bunch.
Incapacitated.
Yes. And now let's just put him in jail. Like, why do we think of that to begin with?
You know what? That would be, if this was real, that would be some shit I think they would do. It's like, well, wait, he'll get his time in court. You know, he's still a human. I know he can't die, but he's still a human being and he's got rights.
Right.
He's a mass murderer.
And there would be
someone
who would want to represent him.
Absolutely. I'm sure Johnny Cochran in 1995 would have represented him.
Get him. And Mr. Kardashian.
Yeah, right? Where's Shapiro? Is he alive? Is he alive? But I think it's funny, too, like, going back and watching it. It's like, you know, he's just in jail.
Yeah.
He's chained up, and it's like...
He's like, they got me.
Hey, Chief, want me to take this mask off his perp? Nah. Don't you think it's evidence?
Yeah, or let's see what he, who this guy is. What does he look like?
In case he gets away, we can tell people what he looks like.
Did they fingerprint him?
That's the thing, too. Did they fingerprint him? Chief, we got no record of this guy in the database, man. How do you have no record, man? He was in the sanitarium for 20 years.
Right. I mean, let's not take him to maximum security. I think we'll just throw him in the drunk tank for a minute.
Yeah, really. The local holding cell.
Right.
I would have been like, yeah, we got to call the CIA, man. We got to get this guy in Guantanamo Bay or something, man. He's got a higher death count than fucking Al-Qaeda at this fucking time. But at this time.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of questions going back about 4 or 5. Still awesome, though.
Right. And then this guy just walks in with a bomb.
A bomb and a Tommy gun, it looks like.
Yeah, shoots everybody and blows it up.
Straight up the faceless man from Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
And just shoots up the whole fucking place.
Right.
I was really, like in part 5, I was really sad when, spoiler, the whole thing's been a spoiler if you haven't seen these movies. But I was really sad when Rachel got it in 5. That was like, I really... After seeing 4 and seeing like her in the beginning of 5, it's like, man, she's a really good character. And they got her like in the beginning too.
Right.
It's a shame. Really sets the tone.
It does. I mean, she was kind of like the hero of 4, if you know you want to say that. Like she basically saved Jamie.
Yeah, who's her stepsister.
Right. Who she was very annoyed with at the beginning.
Very annoyed with.
She was like, couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
Because she was trying to get a man.
And then you find out he's an asshole.
Yeah. I love the shirt that she's wearing, the other girl.
Oh, yeah.
Cops do it by the book or something like that. And her dad comes home and I'm just like, she's just in a t-shirt.
Yeah, you don't think that's weird?
You're hugging your dad in just a t-shirt, but there's other people there.
A t-shirt that's like a white, thin t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, the cover is just like right here.
Go put some pants on.
Go put some fucking pants on, girl. Put some shorts on, something.
Right.
I don't know. Like if I that's super awkward. Even if there wasn't like a boy in the house, that's like super weird.
Yeah. Agreed.
And she looks like she's 25. She looks like she's fucking 17.
And then also that he tells them to like nail the windows and doors shut.
Completely seal yourself with no escape in this house.
So, like, you can't get out. But when he gets in, then nobody can get out. Like, there's no way out.
The sheriff being a total dad.
Yeah.
Catch a group of my daughter. Use that shotgun on you. Yes, sir.
And yeah, he was in...
Days of Confused.
Yes.
He's like, thank God he fucking didn't come in here 20 minutes ago.
You were caught.
He was dead to fucking rights. Like, bad enough his fucking girlfriend caught him.
Meanwhile, there's also a mass murderer walking around.
There's a mass murderer.
But don't grope my daughter.
Don't grope my fucking daughter. There's a bunch of fucking guys who own a local bar. They just shot a dude. Keep your fucking hands off my daughter.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
Could you imagine
Yes, I could.
Being at a bar, you're at a bar, you're drinking after a hard day's work with all your pals, and something comes on the news, and you're like, let's go! And yeah. Everyone grabs their shotgun, and we're going to go kill everyone. We're going to go catch them.
I could totally see that. I think that's the most realistic thing in that movie because we're talking like this is the Midwest,
right?
So,
yeah,
you know what I mean, so it's like especially in like today's culture, like yeah, man, let's go fucking get them, man. Some fucking terrorists on the loose, yeah. Right. Come on, I got my gun, man. Yeah. We got the right to bear arms. Let's go catch them. The cops aren't answering the phone. Let's go, man. Yeah. Jimmy, grab your fucking truck.
Yeah, everyone, jump in. Jump in the back, actually.
Shot Freddie Lee, dude.
Don't sit up here with me. Yeah, and then they shoot someone who's not...
They shoot some fucking random guy. I forget his name, but it's like, man, you shot so-and-so, man. You dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah, and then they're like, but let's go. No one's like, let's maybe do something, or like, oh my God.
Well, it's only after they kill... Here's the funny... Like thinking about the movie, it's all coming back. Like, here's the funniest part. They've already probably broken every kind of, like, ordinance by the right. police that they put out. They killed a guy.
Yeah.
Like someone's gotta answer for that.
Right. But the police are all dead.
But the police are all dead, but then it's like it's only after all that happens. Yeah, man, I'm with the sheriff. Let's let the state guys handle it. It's like, yeah. You didn't even call the state police yet? Right. You did all this shit.
Right. A minute ago we were gung ho. Now let's let the police handle it.
Hey man, let's let the state, like they talk about the state police like they're the FBI.
Right.
Almost. It's like, nah man, let the stateies handle it.
And where were these state police coming from? They always show up right
at the end.
Like right after.
Conveniently show up at the end.
Like in 5, when they're being chased with the Camaro.
Yeah.
Through the woods, you know. Everyone, he got everyone. He didn't get everyone, but he almost got everyone. And then all of a sudden it's like, there's Professor Loomis. And the cops are here.
Yep.
But we didn't hear him or see him, and none of them were around.
This the friend, I forget her name, the friend with the heart of gold, has been like eluding this guy.
Yeah.
I feel, or like either almost
Tina.
Getting caught. Tina.
Tina.
Almost getting caught or eluding this guy with this girl for like the feels like the past like fucking couple hours.
Here yeah.
You fucking come show up when it's all said and done. And then it's like.
I was sad when Tina died.
Yeah.
Because she just was like, obviously she loved little Jamie,
mm-hmm.
and Jamie, it made Jamie happy, and I was like, oh, everyone's dying, poor little Jamie.
5 is really good because 5 definitely had some great characters that you gave a shit about, and then they're like, oh, well, guess what?
Right.
Whoop, sorry. Like, yeah. Even the, I forget her name, but even the friend, the blonde-haired
oh,
girl
yeah, yeah.
was really cool. She was really nice. Like, they were actually, like, really... Usually, like, in slasher films, it's like, you know, I have these friends over here, but you don't feel, like, sympathy for them.
Right,
they're
right.
Like assholes. It's like, nah, the only fucking guy was the dickhead boyfriend with the car.
Right. Mikey.
he was the only fucking jerk off. Everybody else was, like, really nice and cool.
Yeah.
And, like, you didn't, you know what I mean?
Like, just normal people.
Normal people.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. Once she got the pitchfork.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
While they were... having sex.
Yeah.
You know, there's that sex scene.
There's that.
A way to die.
Yeah. What a way to go. Holy smokes.
In 4 is where we also see Jamie get her connection.
That was something I wish, like, they kind of, I want to know, like, more about, or I wanted to know more about, like, so that, like, their psychic connection that, like you said, starts in 4 that we see in 5. I'm trying to remember kind of how they explain that.
In the end of 4, when they say, Jamie, don't get out of the car, and she does, obviously, because why would you listen to anybody? You get out of the car, and you see her, like, touch his hand.
Mm-hmm,
I think
right.
the touch, like, apparently something with that cult, and if you touch the person, because besides him touching people, nobody has ever, like, tried to touch him.
No.
So she touched him, and that kind of, like, transferred this, like, telepathic to where she tried to kill her adopted mom, like,
yeah.
later on that night when she got home.
Yeah, in the clown costume.
In the clown costume,
yes. In the clown costume. So, like, they're trying to make it come yeah. like, full circle.
Right.
I mean, when I was trying to do a little bit of research, and I think, like, so Halloween 4 was, like, this great success, and I believe it was, like, 87 or 88 it
mm-hmm.
came out. But it was kind of coming at the time where... the slasher films were getting like really redundant at the time, and they were starting to like, even though this film did really good, like slasher films as a whole was like kind of starting to go down, and people were kind of getting tired of them. And I think they were going to like try and do something new.
Okay.
And that's what they were laying the groundwork for. But Michael Myers just immediately became an icon. And they were like, nah, we got to have Michael Myers in part five. And
yeah.
We got to come up with some reason to keep him going, man. So, because I think they were going to have her be like the next Michael Myers. That's what they were really going to build towards. But it worked out good. Like I said, I like the whole psychic thing between. I thought it added like a dynamic to that story.
Yeah.
It really made five stand apart alone from four.
Right. And you could kind of start to like, I don't want to say understand, but you kind of started just like, again, through different eyes. Like now you saw it through what she was seeing and she kind of knew what he was doing. And then it was like, oh, there's this connection through the family somehow. And this makes more sense than just like, he's a psycho killer that just wants to kill his family members and anybody.
It also got to show like, I don't think people realize just how good of an actress she was for being such a small child.
She's a very good actress.
Danielle Harris, yeah. we were talking about.
And it's already sparked an idea for my niece for her Halloween costume. Because you know, Halloween costumes are my thing.
I hope we can get some pictures and like intertwine them into the final edit. But yeah, your Halloween costumes are. You always bring it as far as like Halloween costumes. I think my favorite was Small Wonder.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
That was a good one.
It gets harder, you know, because you're like who, I'm not trying to top myself, but like who are you going to be next? Like, you know, but somehow it always comes to me and I love that everyone else understands. Because that's the number one thing. You're like, oh, people are going to know. Are they going to know who I am?
You can understand because like what you go through with costumes is like what I go through with like decorations.
Right.
It's like, I don't want to top. It's not like I'm really trying to top it, but I'm trying to make it so stand alone from like the year before.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, you put like so much stress on yourself.
Right. Yeah. You're not trying to like do something better because they're all good. You just want to show that you put in like the same amount of effort to bring the thought to life.
Yeah, I mean, well, the last couple of years, I've been phoning it in with, like, the costumes because I've been so just, like, worried about the house.
But I'm pretty sure your costumes are still always
well, very I thought good. I thought the Rob Zombie costume was funny. And people knew who it was.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, do people know who, okay. I was like, I'm not good at makeup.
So. Oh, that, I think that's the hardest part.
That's definitely.
Because I have a ton of ideas in my brain that I could do, but it's like, the makeup, trying to, you know, I'm not an artist and makeup artist, you know. And then some of this, like, making the costumes. Like, some things just evolve past, you know, like a hot glue gun. Like, you need, like, a needle and thread, and I don't know how to do that.
No,
so.
Same. I'm like, man, sewing, forget it. Hot glue, sure.
Yeah.
I'm like a fucking welder when it comes to hot glue.
Right. But my niece... I've told you a little bit about my nephew, but my niece is also, they're both horror fanatics in the making. Fourth grade, Savannah's in fourth grade, Jude's in second grade. And Jude requested a picture of your Annabelle doll last year.
Yeah, okay, yes. That's right.
Yes, he loves Annabelle. That's his favorite movie. And I told him, I said, I have some friends who have Annabelle. And he was very worried about you guys. He was very worried. And he said... they call me Dada. And Dada, is it in a box and locked? And I was like, it is. And so when, you know, we came over for Halloween, I sent him the video and he was just like in awe of it.
Yeah. Did you show him the nun room?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like he,
man.
Just recently we watched, we were down the beach and he, they got to request each a movie and my niece requested Inside Out 2. And then Jude was like, I just want to watch a scary movie. And I was like, oh, we're on Netflix. Like, which one do you want to watch? And my dad has like a Fire Stick. And so The Strangers, the new one, chapter one.
Oh man. I was just talking about that. We watched it.
Yeah, it was on. And I was like, well, this is a new one. It just came out. You haven't seen it yet. Do you want to try it? And of course I had to text my sister and be like, is he really like... am I allowed to show them this?
Am I in trouble if I show them this?
Right. And she was like, just watch it with them because, like, if there's sex scenes, try to fast forward that. Not the murder or death. Let him watch that. Not the sex scene.
That's how my parents were, too. I don't right. get it. Yeah. I'm like, man, I don't care if you see all these people get murdered. Tits?
Right.
No.
Right.
You're too
young. Don't watch that. So we put it on. And it was probably the first, like, 4 minutes of the movie. And he was, like, he literally looked at me. He said, I told you, this isn't scary. Can you put on Annabelle already? And I was like, well, we already started it. We have to finish. And so as it's going on, you know, it's kind of more like they're being hunted. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to keep him occupied. So I was like, well, what would he would be like, oh, this is dumb. And I'm like, well, what would you do? And he said, these are the things I would do if I was, if I was in a horror movie.
I love
number
this
one.
I
would
he get, want to come on the show?
Yeah, sure. If you, I would get in my bed and go under the covers because the covers save you from everything. And I was like, this is true. If the covers are up and you're in your bed and nothing, your feet aren't hanging off the side, nothing can get you. So get under the covers, he said.
Okay.
Number two, he said, turn on the lights.
Well, they kill the power, though, don't they?
Well, in that. But he's just he was talking generalized.
General.
Like, turn on the lights.
It's a good call. It's a good point.
Right. And then he was like, when you get outside, keep running away. Don't stay. Keep going.
That's the smartest thing I've heard. And I, like I said, I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
There's so many times. If you haven't seen Stranger Chapter 1, the newer one, don't. Anyway.
Back to this.
Back to Halloween, like an hour later. No, so I didn't put it up here, but Halloween 6 is probably like the one I've watched the most besides the original one. I love that one.
Yeah. I've definitely watched it because obviously it falls in line with these three, but not as much as I've watched these two.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go against popular opinion, and I'm going to say two things. Number one, the season of the Witch. We've talked about it before. Nobody liked it because it wasn't Michael, right? And we were like, what even is this? It doesn't make sense. But Halloween was meant to be an anthology series, right? So like it was supposed to be a different thing happening each Halloween. But everyone just loved him so much.
Yeah.
Such a lovable guy.
Such a lovable, such an icon.
But I'm kind of, I would be here for that now.
Like, I would too.
I would, like, if they were going to make another Halloween movie and kind of leave him at rest and do something else, like, I would be okay. I think I would be okay with at least seeing how it panned out.
I think at this point, especially with, like, the last movie, because the last movie was so, like, underwhelming.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to. I mean, it's definitely something to where it's going to be like at least 10 years before you get someone's like real interest in Michael Myers back. I think that's just because like the, you know, 2018 was like good and successful. And then it's like, all right away, these next two movies, which are kind of like, especially the third one. I would be down for that though. I think if you did like an anthology thing where something was like very different every year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would be on board with
that. And my second is that I kind of enjoy Rob Zombie's Halloweens.
No shit.
I do.
I don't know what the fuck was going on in Halloween 2. Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
The 2 one is a little bit a lot.
Yeah,
but like
it's real out there.
Halloween, like his first Halloween reenactment, I guess if you want to call it that. I think I liked it because in the original ones, you see like Halloween night and then, you know, the hospital situation. And then we don't really hear from Laurie again until she's, H2O? Is that when we see her again?
Yeah.
So she's like a full-blown adult and, you know, she's been in hiding or whatever. But like in Rob Zombie's, we kind of see like the, like, create, like what happens when you like go through like a terrible situation. You know, that's the part that I liked, I think. You kind of see that.
Well, there's definitely stuff I like about Rob Zombie's Halloween. Like I don't like too much of like the family stuff when he's a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it gives too much away, like, of why he is the way he is. like when he kills his sister and his stepdad, I think that whole like sequence is like really done well and creepy, and I like the whole. I like when they're showing him as a kid and dealing with like Loomis, and stuff, and like the mom, like, you know, Sherry Moon is like obviously trying her best, to show like showing a range of emotions dealing with the fact that like her son murdered like the rest of her family, but she's still his mom,
right?
You know, and like going to visit him and stuff. Like, I think a lot of that stuff is cool, and I like when he's a full blown adult. Like, I like that whole series in that movie. I think he looks great. I think.
Oh yeah, I think he looks great.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Mane, I think, is who played him. You know, a big.
Yeah.
Former ex wrestler, like he looks like he could really be doing the things he's doing. You know. No, I think that's a.
Like that, yeah. I don't like.
It's not as bad as everyone says it is. I don't think so. I do enjoy some things about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it again, a different angle, kind of like, oh, okay, well, this angle, you got to see a little bit differently. There's, I do agree that there are some parts that I could literally leave. You can leave that out.
but the director's cut's like even worse. Like the director's cut, like the Rob Zombie's got some things in there that I'm not even going to get into. I was talking about it like last night, but like he throws some stuff in there, and it's just like, dude, that don't make any sense. Why you're putting that scene in there? You're just trying to be weird,
right? Definitely some over the top situations. Oh, yeah. But I don't turn it off. If it's on, I'm gonna watch it.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. Yeah. Like I said, I do miss the days of like just throwing a movie on in the back. So you've never seen the actual like original cut of Part 6.
No.
Okay.
I think I've only I've seen the regular movie.
So there is a version of that movie that exists. For a long time, it was actually really hard to get. Now you can probably, it's on YouTube now, probably. And I think even some streaming services carry it. Apparently, they were filming that movie. Donald Pleasance, unfortunately, passed away during like the making of the movie. So they had to change it. And I guess like the studio looked at the final one and was like, no, we do not like this. Change it. So that's why, like, if you go and watch it, the editing seems really off. They kind of make it sound like the only way to beat Michael Myers is to remove the curse from him. But you can't remove the curse from him without putting it on to someone else.
Right.
So, like, the movie kind of ends with Loomis getting the curse. Like, they pull the curse off of Michael Myers through, like, witchcraft.
Right.
But now he's got it. And, like, when you hear the... When you hear Donald Pleasance, like, screaming at the end of Part 6, it's really, like, the way 6 ends is, like, you see the mask laying on the ground.
Yeah.
And then you hear Donald Pleasance, like, screaming, and the pumpkin goes out. The screaming's actually from the cut of that ending where he realizes he has, like, the curse.
Okay.
It's really...
Yeah.
It's worth a watch just to see it.
Right.
But I like the version that's, we've come to know, the theatrical cut, as they call it. And there was all sorts of weird stuff, like, so... like Danielle Harris was like kind of really pissed off they didn't ask her to come back and play her character, which, spoiler, gets brutally murdered after having a baby in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Well, the original script, that was going to, like, Michael Myers was the dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Very weird. Very weird. He was, in the original script, he was like the father of that child. That's how they were going to write it. And thank God they didn't.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
No, it was like, it's awful. It's awful. I don't know why they were going that route. Like, what they were, I'm trying to remember, like, what they thought they were going to, like, achieve. But they were like, no, there's no way. We're not putting that movie out. You're fucking out of your mind.
Yeah. Danielle Harris, she just played such a great character in 4 and 5. She's such a good little actress. And then I loved her in Roseanne.
Roseanne? Oh, man.
Right.
Don't tell Mom the babysitter's dead. She's got some serious, she's got some serious credit. And she's like as an adult woman at this point, obviously. She's like embraced horror. I mean, she came back to do Rob Zombie's Halloween.
I noticed like how good she was at like crying and like screaming and like, you know, all she plays, she was mute in the beginning of five and you know, she just was a really good character, like believable, scared to death little girl.
Yeah. You know? Like I said, she had some serious like acting chops. You could really see. I think that like, so she was like Halloween 4, Halloween 5, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, Roseanne. Yeah. There's probably like another movie in there that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, a few other ones.
But then there was like this big break where she wasn't really doing anything. And a lot of people weren't, you know, sure why. And a lot of like young actresses do that. You know, they'll take a break and maybe go to college and come back or something. But I think she had like a stalker.
Oh.
Yeah, I think she had like, a legit stalker case. And that's why, like, you didn't see her for a long time. Because, yeah, I feel like you didn't see her, and then all of a sudden, she's an urban legend.
Oh, yeah.
As the goth girl. Right?
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit, it's her. Like, right. Where the hell you been the last, like, 10 years? And, yeah, I think she was, like, she had a real bad, like, stalker case that was, like, getting kind of out of control. And she kind of had to drop off the map for a while. Anyway, that's all the time we have. Thanks again for joining us here at the Marvel of Horror. I want to thank Lauren Sabatino, DSAT, for coming by, talking movies. I hope she comes back. I've been wanting to get her on the show for a long time to talk Halloween 4 and 5 and 6. We did a lot about 6, too.
You know, I can't pass up a challenge.
Wow.
When you called me out by my name, I was like, I guess I got to go.
I'm glad Eddie left that in, because I was like, I wonder if he's going to... Good, he kept it. Yeah. Like, yeah, thank you for Nicole, because Nicole helped me land this spectacular guest we have today. So find us at the Marvel of Horror on YouTube, Marvel of Horror Podcast on YouTube. Like, subscribe, check us out on Spotify, and we'll see you again soon, I hope.
Bye, guys.